This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the top automotive advances of the day. We're breaking them all down. Where car tech is going, fresh from last week's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Are new car trends driving us into the future? It's sooner than you think. But first, these tech headlines. Safety watchdogs are raising concerns about SpaceX and Boeing spacecrafts. Plans to routinely ferry astronauts into orbit using private space track, initially slated to start last year, has now slipped until at least the spring of 2019, and unresolved hazards threaten further delays. The Wall Street Journal's Andy Pastor has more at WSJ.com. Dropbox files for an IPO. Enterprise technology company Dropbox has plans to list in the first half of 2018. The Journal says the cloud-based file-sharing service, whose primary competitors include Alphabet and Microsoft, had 5 million users as of August, according to Bloomberg. And it's no pedal to the metal in GM's planned self-driving Cruise AV car. General Motors is seeking U.S. government approval for a fully autonomous car, one without a steering wheel, brake pedal, or accelerator pedal, to enter the automaker's first commercial ride-sharing fleet in 2019. Coming up, what last week's Consumer Electronics Show tells us about the future of car trends. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. So now that we've gotten some rest from all the excitement of CES 2018, a look at how it set the stage for the future of cars. Tim Higgins covers all things car tech for the Journal and joins us via San Francisco right now. Hey, Tim.
Hi.
Let's talk cars. I'd love to get a postmortem of CES and see where we're at and where the future is driving transportation. So it looks like we're going to be talking to our cars a lot. Amazon, Alexa, Google Assistant were everywhere at CES, obviously. How is voice tech going to take cars to the next level?
Right. We've seen an increasing trend in personal electronics, this idea of being able to talk directly to your phone or to your speaker in your kitchen. And in the last couple of years, we've seen increasing number of automakers try to bring, say, Alexa into the car. And right now, it's still very rudimentary, very kind of limited things. They turn the music up, that sort of thing. When I'm looking at some of the automotive suppliers and tech and automakers at CES this past week, seeing some further advancements in what you could do. I spent some time with one supplier whose vision of what the cockpit of the car will be like. Well, you'll be able to get in and type your code into the screen, and then the Alexa service that you use in your house will then work in your car, and you could say, hey, where's the nearest coffee shop? And it would give you a bunch of options, and then you would say, pick number one, and it'll give you the route. It'll come on the screen, and you'll go there. And then maybe you pick up a friend because you're in a ride share, using your car in a ride share scenario, and then that person gets in the front seat and logs into their account in a screen in front of them, and then they can control the functions of the car for them through their system. And so maybe they use Google, and so they use the Google Assistant. They perhaps want to continue watching a movie that they were watching in their house. They just say, continue the movie, and then it pops up on a little screen in front of them. That's the future that one automotive supplier is talking about, and it's a future that automakers are kind of thinking about as they make the kind of bets of where the technology inside the car is going.
And I'd love to talk actual cars. And I have to ask, were you able to take any rides or get inside of anything interesting over there?
Yeah, I rode in an automotive supplier that does technology for car companies called Aptiv. They used to be known as Delphi. They, in the past year, made some restructuring, and they're really focusing on car tech. And they have been working for years on developing a self-driving car. And this year, they showed their car basically would go from the convention center to a nearby hotel. Round trip, it was probably about 4 miles. It was in self-drive. They had a safety operator behind the wheel. It was very smooth. It wasn't jerky. Like some of these other self-driving cars that I've been in are still in early phases, that they were able to show a level of sophistication far ahead many other of its startup competitors. But the display of the technology was not really what was this demonstration was purpose. They had teamed with Lyft, the ride-hailing app, to demonstrate how this technology might be deployed in the real world. And so we went and they pulled up the Lyft app and we picked a self-driving car and it pulled up and then we put in where we were going and the car drove us there. We went to Caesar's Palace about 2 miles away. And during that time, the human never had to take over. There was only one occasion where the car was a little bit, it braked a little bit abruptly. And that was because a human jaywalked and was kind of walking erratically. And so the car, you know, like a human, wasn't really quite sure what was going on. And so their display of how this might be deployed was actually kind of a theme throughout the CES show this year. I've been before, and before, oftentimes it's about showing off the neat, coolest new feature or technology or predicting what could be in the future. This year, a lot of the conversation was about how this technology can be a business, whether through its deployment or how it's going to be put into production. And we saw a lot of conversations about partnerships between different industries and how this technology might be used. For example, Toyota demonstrated a concept for an autonomous car, then announced some partnerships with Pizza Hut. Ford announced some test partnerships with Postmate and doubling down with their Domino's testing that they're doing. All really trying to talk about, you know, okay, we've got this technology. We're aiming to put it on the road in the next few years. How are we going to make money from it? And the general consensus growing up is the first ways that this is going to happen is either through robot taxis and through package deliveries.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned something like robot taxis. That brings up infrastructure. And, you know, we've made a lot of automotive advancements. Do we have the tech with regard to infrastructure to keep up becomes the key question. What do you think about that?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about the Aptiv demonstration. In Las Vegas, because of CES, infrastructure has been put into place by some of these automotive companies over the years for their demonstration. So Aptiv has already gone into this many of the four-way stop, the lighting, the stoplights, and put in technology. So they know, for example, how much time they have before the light is going to turn red as they're approaching. And so that can then be factored into acceleration and deceleration, help improve fuel economy, these sorts of things. And that kind of technology is being talked about as, you know, that would be very helpful in the self-driving world. Ford is also talking about the need and the importance of working with cities and thinking holistically about how this technology can go about changing how we use our city spaces and how we do city planning and how we do buildings and how we just live as a community. For the past 100 years or so, we have largely increasingly built our buildings around cars and car movement. And, you know, now the conversation is talking about, well, what do we do if we don't have to have a sea of parking lots around our downtown? Do they become parks? Do they become something else? And so really a big conversation at CES this year about the cities, how they can become smarter, how these new robot cars can interact with them, and the pieces of technology that need to be implemented to kind of make the ecosystem work.
What was also fascinating were the alternative modes of transportation that we saw spring up, you know, from suitcases to all sorts of things. It's not just about cars anymore. So what's going on with alternative modes of transport and the tech that we need to get there? Where are we at?
If you walk the show floor at CES, one of the things that was abundantly clear was everybody's trying to figure out a way to put artificial intelligence in every product so that our products are no longer dumb, that they can be intuitive and meet our needs without having to necessarily say, you know, what you want, which is, some of this is purely marketing and some of this is real. And part of that, you start to have the conversation of like, well, if we can make self-driving cars that are really robots that move around the cities, how can that technology be deployed in our other realms of life? And whether it's talking about using some of the same kind of concepts to create robots that help you carry your luggage, or I've seen elsewhere, we're having conversations in cities about pods that would deliver food around town instead of being cars, they would be small little robots that would maybe go on the sidewalk or in the bike lanes or something like that. Really what's going on is a big conversation about how autonomous technology can be deployed into many different areas.
We have it right there. Tim Higgins, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Wall Street Journal reporter Tim Higgins covers all things car tech for the Journal. Head to WSJ.com/tech for more. If you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.